I should have my special guest on the line with me this morning, Justin Bilton, and I think I said that right. Good morning, Justin.
Morning. Yeah, you said that right.
Good deal, man. Well, man, thank you for taking time to call in to HLE Radio. I know we've been spinning your latest song, and for some folks who aren't quite familiar with who you are, I'm going to let them in on a little bit of it. I don't know a whole bunch about you, but we're going to find out a little bit about you, and it's going to be very cool because some folks might not know this, but I know this for a fact, man. There was a song back out in the 90s, I think by a band called Three Doors Down, called Kryptonite, and you happen to be the bass player currently for that band.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and they're out of, well, they originated out of Escatawapa, Mississippi, which ain't too far from where I'm at currently. And they do something very, very cool. And I think you're probably a part of this, the Better Life Foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. And I want people to know this because Katrina was a big deal for us down here, all of us. And something y'all did for Waveland, Mississippi, Three Doors Down did, y'all bought 3 police cars and a fire truck. I don't know that people really know that, but it's worth mentioning. And for me, it is worth mentioning because that is truly giving back, man. I just wanted to get that out of the way. I really did, and I wanted people to know that.
It's a cool thing to be a part of. I'm very proud that we have this organization that helps people in that way. And Katrina was kind of the thing that sparked it. And it was, you know, years before I was in the band, so can't take credit for it. But they saw a need in their home area that was hit, and the places that weren't really being advertised and getting the exposure on the media that like New Orleans was,
right?
But that whole area, and as you know, was totally destroyed, and a lot of places that people just weren't paying attention to needed help. And that's a big part of what sparked the Better Life. And then through the years, where the money goes is to stuff like that, like the places that people just kind of forget about or isn't as cool to donate to. So the money, it goes directly to people in need in those places. Like it, nobody ever makes anything off of it. It goes directly to like kind of boots on the ground situations with that stuff where there's a church that's going to get supplies at Lowe's to rebuild, and that's where it goes.
Right. Now, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. I just kind of wanted to set that up, man, before we get into everything, because that kind of stuff is really worth mentioning, because like you said, you are involved in that now, and with that, because you're still actively on the road with these folks. But you're doing your own thing, and you're from Arden, North Carolina, originally.
Yeah, originally up in the mountains.
Yeah, I love North Carolina, man. It's one of my favorite states. It is a very beautiful place, man. I have quite a few friends in North Carolina.
Very cool.
Yeah. So now you were. I believe you're probably raised up in church, singing and playing. If I'm taking a guess here because I'm going by by this latest song you've written that we're playing. That has to come from those kind of roots. Am I right?
Yeah, that's actually where I got my start, playing music in front of people. I grew up in a Baptist church, and especially in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was in high school, that like kind of praise and worship music was starting to get a little more rock and roll. So I was the leader for the youth band, And so whenever we'd have, you know, our praise and worship service, and it was like we're playing Third Day and DC Talk.
Yeah, man. Love Third
Jars
Day.
Jars of Clay songs. And I mean, they were pretty rocking.
Right.
It was,
They always had that country connotation to them, though, didn't they?
I think that's also too why that worked so well, as like they just translated. It wasn't like some of the heavier stuff that was like the Christian based kind of heavy rock band, like POD or something. But you know, you couldn't really go play in church because people would be, especially them, would be like, "Oh wow, that's too much." Yeah. Devil's music, but that stuff, you know, yeah, translated,
man. Right? Yeah, I know. I get it, man. I get it. Well, man, listen. I want to find out how you. Let's find out how you got from there to Three Doors, and then from Three Doors back to where you are now with this journey here, man. How'd that happen?
So the short version. Yeah. I've been playing music since I got out of high school. All I wanted to do was play music. So didn't go to school. I started a band with some friends in my hometown. And as soon as I got out, we hit the road. It was back when we kind of booked tours on our own. So we were, you know, hitting up people on MySpace and going to playing basements. And
MySpace, wow.
Anyway, yeah. So somehow we ended up kind of touring the country doing that, and got to do some cool stuff. We got to open up for Slash and got to play Bayfest down in Mobile quite a few times, and back when they still had that. And through that, we started recording with Chris Henderson, the guitar player for Three Doors. And this was probably 10 years ago now.
Right.
But so started recording with him. He liked our band. It was like really kind of heavy Southern rock. Me and him just stayed friends. And around that time too, I started like coming over to Nashville all the time, because like 4 or 5 hour drive to Nashville. I'd always loved country. And every time we'd come over here and play with the rock band, people were always trying to get me to come write. So I finally did. I met a guy named James House, and he wrote Broken Wing for Martina McBride, and In a Week or Two for Diamond Rio, and a bunch of other songs.
Yes,
and
he did.
He kind of took me under his wing and started having songwriting sessions in Nashville. And I'd come over every weekend pretty much, and we'd write songs and write songs with different people. And he's kind of teaching me how Nashville writes pretty much.
What a great teacher, man.
it was a cool time. I was working 3 jobs back home playing in that band. I'd get off work at like, you know, 6 or 7 on a Friday, drive over and write and then drive back. And
it was
crazy, but I learned a lot, and it kind of ignited my passion for especially the songwriting side of country music. And, it's something I never really thought that I was going to be good at, or anybody was going to like what I was doing.
Right.
But just kept doing it, kept learning. And then a couple of years later, I'm in Three Doors Down. And they had some issues with the bass player that left. And they knew I got along with everybody. I was friends with everybody. And they asked if I'd play. And we rehearsed for 2 weeks here in Nashville, and then my first show was in Moscow, Russia with the band.
Wow, man.
It was crazy. I mean, like, really just kind of trial by fire. So we started touring, started playing together, everything clicked, we all got along, and that's a big part of it.
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
Everybody getting along.
You're right.
And that was 7 years ago now. So things were going good, and we're touring and working on records together. And
it allows you time to also work on your own stuff, too.
That's great. So that whole time I was, you know, I'm living in Nashville now and I'm writing with all my buddies and kind of had an ability to do that. And especially with the name, I was getting into some rights that, you know, were some little more important people than me writing. And started learning a lot more and then started coming up with these songs about 3 years ago. And people were like, man, why aren't you up singing and playing these songs for people? And something I always wanted to do, but I never really thought I could.
Right.
And had a lot of friends started pushing me to do it, a lot of friends and family. And so I just started playing the writers' rounds around town and evolved into this and started putting out my own music and going and playing my own shows. And
awesome, man.
People have been enjoying it.
Well, I know you're playing, well, I seen one video, man. You're playing a nice hummingbird, so it can't be all bad. that says something for you. You got a good Gibson, so you're already okay in my book with that.
It makes a difference.
Yeah, man. I gotta tell you, I got a 62 original Dove, and that's my love. So
wow.
Anyway, man, this is not about me. It's about you. I'm just kidding. just listen, man. Give me the premise of this song here, Worth Hanging On To, man, because I love about the Bible, the boots, it's great, man. What went into this? What went behind this?
So I was on a long drive. I just played down like on solo shows. So I just played down in Texas. Well, I did my solo shows and just throw my guitar in the truck and take off. And I was in 2 weeks down in Texas playing, and then immediately came home for a day or two, and then went up to Kentucky and played a couple shows. And I was driving back, and my truck was really dirty. And I was just kind of cruising along, and I think I was thinking about how everybody just kind of throws stuff away nowadays, doesn't really take care of things, and
right.
I just kind of. I'm driving and like kind of looking at this dirty truck and thinking about, I don't know, I guess I didn't have any music on at the time. It was just kind of a introspective drive, and came up with the chorus, and it was really just about the important things that you kind of hang on to. And if you do that and you take care of these things, they'll last instead of just throwing it away like we do nowadays, where it's like, God, just, I'll just go get a new one. I'll just get this. I'll throw this out. And I saw that, you know, we kind of, not we, but certain generations coming up kind of treat relationships in the same way. It's
absolutely
one thing goes wrong. It's like, go get a new one. I can just get on an app and swipe right and find a new girlfriend or boyfriend. And nobody really takes the time to like cultivate those relationships and take care of them. So, that's kind of where that came from. It was the things that you kind of hand down through the family, like the grandpa's rifle and your mom's Bible. And like the you part is like taking care of that person in your life too.
In order for you to mention your mama's Bible, I'm assuming that that was something that you seen throughout your childhood was your mama's Bible. She had that readily handy with her.
Oh, yeah.
How important is your faith to you, man? How important is that to you to carry that every day? Do you still carry that with you?
Oh yeah, it's really important to me now, especially. And I've always said it's kind of like faith is like a lifelong journey, and it's something that, you know, as a Christian, I'm sure you know. Like sometimes you wake up one day and it's just not there. And you're like, man, what is, like, I'm not feeling it. Like something's just not clicking for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a good part of it, because you learn and you grow in your faith with that. And there was a time, you know, when I was younger where I just didn't feel it.
Right.
And in the past, probably 8-9 years, I started really looking around and seeing all the blessings that I've had, and the way that, you know, God answers prayers. And it's extremely important to me now.
Okay. I
think that's kind of been the journey.
Yeah, I'm gonna go a little different place here with you, man, because being on the entertainment side of things here and being a musician out there, singer songwriter, and playing in a band, I'm sure Three Doors Down don't do a whole lot of church services and stuff like that. But seriously, man, you get to see, or you see a whole different side of being a Christian, or what a Christian is going to be, or what your faith is going to be, or how you work out your own salvation or your faith there. And I'm always saying everybody has to work out their own salvation. Mm-hmm. To a lot of the legalistic, judgmental church folks, which I'm sure you've experienced once you left that and went straight into that, I'm sure you got accosted for some of that stuff, and I'm not going to go into that. But from your perspective of being out in those places, have you been, man? I'm sure there's plenty of temptation. I'm sure there's all kind of stuff, but it's a daily work, right? It's a daily, you have to have a relationship with,
absolutely,
with Jesus, right?
Yep.
And, I'm sure you have one. I'm just trying to see things from your perspective out there, how that might work for someone in who's on that side of the coin, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think it's a similar thing to the faith as well. Like, you just take it day by day and kind of do the best you can. And like you said, you find your own,
mm-hmm,
your own path with it. Cause it is, I mean, you can go to church all day,
mm-hmm,
every day, but if it's not personal to you,
right,
you're missing the point.
I'm sure you've seen God's beauty out there plenty, and I'm sure
oh,
you've,
yeah,
seen God do some things and protect you from some things while you've been out on the road, because, man, there's a lot out on the road. And
yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, you know, one of the things that I always, you kind of see in hindsight,
mm-hmm,
where, especially being on the road and stuff, and not even just like, oh, no, there's drugs and alcohol here. Like, what, mm-hmm, am I doing?
Right.
But, you know, there's times where, you know, just on a day off, you're walking somewhere and something happens, or there's, you know,
yeah,
you're in a bad place that you shouldn't be, just, you know, mm-hmm, on a daily commute. And in hindsight, you're like, oh, wow, somebody's definitely watching that for me there. And I think that's a lot of times it is kind of, yeah, in hindsight.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
You,
man,
look back on something and see the hand protecting you.
Justin, man, I appreciate your honesty and candidness with us on that, brother. I always love for our listeners to get that interperspective from the artists themselves, man. And I appreciate you being willing and open to share that, man. I really do. And
no problem.
I'm going to ask you, man, since you travel, and you travel like you do to Texas and everything, man, we are dead off of I-10, man, and super easy to get to. Brother, I would love for you to stop into the station. We're a brick and mortar, man, and we are easy to find, easy to get to. We're like about a half a mile or 3/10 of a mile off the interstate. I mean, just easy to get to. And we would love to have you come in here in person, bro. And maybe even co-host the morning show, do a little live stuff with us. That would be awesome.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Well, man, please let me know when you're coming through. And please stop in here, man. We would just sincerely love for you to stop in. And I mean that.
Absolutely.
Well, brother, yeah, thank you for calling in. And, man, listen, before I let you go, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, find your music, all that stuff, where they can reach out to you. I'll just let them know.
So the easiest way, Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff, anywhere you're listening to music now, you can find it. Call into your radio stations and ask them to play it. And Hunter's been playing it, so that's another good way. And then I'm on Instagram. It's easy to find. I'm Justin Three Doors Down. You can find it pretty much anywhere.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't have Twitter. I don't like Twitter. I think it's a bad place. I stay off of there. Facebook is right up there with them. But
yeah,
I like Instagram.
Okay,
just pictures. So
all right, man. Well, Justin, listen, man, you be safe out there, brother. And thank you for your time today, man. We appreciate you. And please stop by whenever you're in this area, man.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, honey. I appreciate you. And y'all be safe as well.
All right.